Welcome back to 50 Ball, where we always talk sports deeper than the box score. It's your boy, J-Dub.
You got me, Rio.
And we back in here, man. We back in here with the hot takes, man. We always got the content hot and ready for you. And in the most recent tonight, the Boston Celtics put a dumping on the Miami Heat. 127-102. Marcus Smart and Al Horford came back. I think Horford came back from COVID, and Marcus Smart had a foot injury, and that was a big impact. I think that led into the blowout, I think. And Marcus Smart had 12 points and 24 points, about 12 assists.
Yeah, 24, yeah.
I get all the twos and the fours mixed up.
12 assists, nine rebounds?
Nine rebounds. Like, yeah, he had a good game, man. What's your take, man, with this series being tied up 1-1?
Hey, them boys, they're evenly matched. Like, I favor Boston, but I think Boston's going to take in about six or seven games.
Okay.
If you put a gun to my head and make me choose, I'm probably going to say seven games, Boston.
Okay.
You know, I'm a Laker guy. I don't like Boston, but I think they're going to take it in about seven games.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I wasn't surprised. You know, they got beat the first game. Second game, they blew them out. You know, that's about the way the playoffs go. Marcus Smart did his thing, almost had a triple-double.
Yeah.
That boy, Jason Tatum, man, he's stepping into superstardom. I don't think he's a superstar yet, but he's right there. Like, he got his hand above the water, about to come to the surface. Like, he's right there. Like, I have no hate on him at all. Like, he's starting to figure it out, and he has the confidence now. But how do you see it?
He's getting there, man. Like, Tatum's climbing up there. Like, he's been a B-star for a little bit, but I know he's only, like about 24 years old. But, man, he's been getting better at, like, every single year. And, you know, honestly, I didn't have Miami pretty much in the series at all. I know that they lost the first game, but that was only because Marcus Smart, like I said, and Al Horford wasn't playing. And without those two guys, Miami had a much easier time. I know it sounds super simplistic and sounds like, but I do think that is the case. I'm like, because when those two came back, they blew out Miami. It wasn't close. So I don't know, my boy's saying like six or seven games. I might give it five.
Ooh.
I don't see him. I'm being so disrespectful. Like, look, I don't see him winning maybe another one. Like, I'm like, give me a game. And like, I really have that little confidence in Miami right now. Like, with playing Boston at full force, I don't think they have enough to keep up. You got too many guys that, I mean, they have the defensive player of the year in Marcus Smart. And Jimmy Butler is a good defender.
Yeah.
But they don't have, I think the roster is just better on Boston. And I think it's a matter of if, not when, because we both pick Miami to lose in this one.
Yeah.
I'm just being disrespectful and say, like, they may not win another game. But so I think I got Boston in five.
Boston in five, yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? Like I said, I mean, I'm not mad at that. I think Boston has more talent on their side versus Boston. You know, yeah. Boston has a really deep team. They have a deep roster. Same with the Celtics, they have a pretty deep roster too. But as far as the talent, like the top level talent with the top three players versus the Miami three top three players, I'm gonna get the edge slightly to Boston. You know, with Tatum, he has the most probably potent scoring ability. You know, like he can shoot the three ball a little bit better than Jimmy Butler.
Mm-hmm.
I know Butler had like 41 points in the first game, but he made 0 3-pointers.
Yeah.
Whereas Tatum, he can get hot from the 3-point line. That's kind of what put Miami out. He was hitting some timely threes along with some other mid-range jumpers.
Yeah.
You got, same with Jaylen Brown. You know, he can give you a little bit more threes. Where on the flip side, Miami has Bam, you know, Adebayo as probably the second best player.
Mm-hmm.
He brings it more on the defensive end, but he has some mid-range too, but he's not really shooting threes. You know, I'm going to get to Jaylen Brown. And then you got Marcus Smart. You know, he, big game tonight, 24 points, 9 rebounds, 12 assists. He can get hot and streaky, you know, along with the bringing some timely defense to where Miami, that's where it gets tricky. Like, the third star, I don't know who you're going to say the third star is. Like, it could be Duncan Robinson. It could be Tyler Hero on a given night.
Yeah.
Both with latent scoring ability. But consistency-wise, I mean, Marcus Smart, you probably know what you're going to get with him more night to night versus those two.
Mm.
So, I give the talent edge to Boston, but Boston teams are good, though. But I got to stick with Boston, though. Neither one has really a transcendent star. So, I'm going to get to Boston about six, seven games.
And I think Robert Williams, I think.
Yeah.
He's another like unsung hero that doesn't get talked about a lot.
That's true.
He blocks everything coming at him. Mm-hmm. He's a great defender. I know he's a bit like undersized, but so is everybody. I mean, honestly, like the whole court is undersized. It's like playing just five little guys trying to fight each other out. And there's not like a true big man in the game anymore. Like Shaq was that last person to be like that true old school big man. That sucks at free throws, that doesn't shoot threes. I feel like those type of big men are gone.
Right.
And to be clear, go Lakers. Okay. I'm not going to give Boston that much. Okay. I do wish that they would lose. I'll be clear about that, too. Even though I am picking Boston to win the series, I do hope they lose and someone gets a hammy or something, or somebody goes to the club too long. Something like that. I wish a lot of irresponsibility on the part of Boston, even though they probably won't. But yeah, man, is there anything we got? Pat Beverly, man, like he's been in the news a lot lately.
Yep.
He's been on First Take and Get Up on ESPN, and he was pretty harsh on Chris Paul when the Phoenix Suns lost the Memphis Grizzlies. They lost to Dallas. I'm sorry. Different series. Yeah. But when they lost to Dallas, obviously that was disappointing because they lost in Game 7. They got blown out in Game 7. And Pat Beverly went on First Take, and he was talking about how Chris Paul should have been subbed out of the game for DeAndre Ayton. Ayton, right? And Ayton. And he was saying, like, he couldn't guard anybody. And I think a lot of former and current players had a lot to say about that.
He's talking noise.
So I don't know what were your thoughts though when you heard him kind of go in on Chris Paul like that?
He had a lot of truth in there. You know, Pat Bev said a lot of truth, especially about like the criticism. You know, like guys like Steph, KD, LeBron, when they have a bad game, especially in the playoffs, the First Take and Undisputed, all those networks, they talk about it. And they're talking about, oh, does this affect their legacy? Mm-hmm. You know, a little generic talk. They talk about it every year. Does this affect their legacy? Chris Paul, he gets some slander, but it's like he does kind of get a slight pass. But Pat Bev was also hating. Like, he's still, he had a personal vendetta against Chris Paul. Like, he's still mad about last year when the Phoenix Suns put the Clippers out in the conference finals.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what Chris Paul said to him, but remember, he pushed him down to the ground at the end of the game last year. So, excuse me, got the hiccups. It sounds like a personal vendetta. I'm not going to say it sounds completely biased. Like, even though he has some truth spoken in there, it sounds like, man, he wanted to give Chris Paul that heat. And I respect Pat Bev. We talk about him, you know, actually pretty often on some of our earlier episodes. Like, we respect his tenacity and his consistency. And he got the dog in him. But that one did sound personal. Mm-hmm. You know, but I mean, do you agree with him though that this loss with the Phoenix Suns affected Chris Paul's legacy? Like, do you think he was right in that regard?
I mean, it affected those that put him up high in the first place. I didn't put him up as the greatest point guard ever. I think he's top five, but I think it was just pretty much the status quo. You know, as far as like, I think he's still one of like, he'll still be a Hall of Famer shoe-in. Right. And he is 37, okay? I think people caught up in like, he is an older point guard. And you're not going to get, you know, like the same kind of performance that you would get as when he was in his prime. I kind of thought it's Pat Bev's take, though. I mean, he was truthful in some aspect of like a defense. I mean, he's not shutting down everybody.
Right.
But,
they called him a cone. Like, he ain't defending nobody. He just standing there. What do you think about that?
Dang. That's a little too much, man. Yeah. I wouldn't say cone, no. I mean, dang. He ain't got to. That's what I'm saying. He going a little too. I mean, like you know when you order some Parmesan at, like, Olive Garden? And you know when they try to say when? I think he don't listen. I think he just keep going putting the Parmesan, and you just got too much on the salad. You know, I think with his take, he put a little too much Parmesan on that cone, and he could just let up a little bit on that. But I mean, to his defense, I mean, if it was any defense at all, I think he was a little too far. I think he sounds similar to a lot of people that are on First Take and ESPN and Fox Sports that sound super biased. You know, like Matt Barnes went in on Pat Bev's take two and saying like he went too far and like, you know, and but
I think so.
Guys like Skip Bayless, Stephen A. Stephen A is super biased. He hates the Dallas Cowboys, which I love Dallas Cowboys too. So, I mean, but he hates them, and it's super predictable. And he has a personal thing. It's not like an objective, oh, they just played bad. He goes out of his way. Everybody knows it. He posts his videos mocking them, making all these crazy videos every time they lose. He waits for that every time. And you can't tell me that's just as crazy as Pat Bev. Like, I mean, he's pretty much doing the same thing as what everybody else is, which is how he got on the show. You know what I mean? Like, you get good ratings. I don't know. What do you think about, I guess, people like Pat Bev and like ESPN, like giving too much bias of a take, like the one he did recently?
Well, what made Pat Bev different was he's an actual NBA player, you know, a current one at that, you know. So people are looking like, damn, you saying that, and you got to play this guy next year. So that's what makes him different. But I mean, yeah, I mean, he is kind of the same. It's like he's playing a kid. I can see that he's kind of playing, I don't want to say he's playing a character, but he's like filling the void though on TV. Like, people like drama. Mm-hmm. And he's kind of like playing a role on TV, I think. That's Skip Bayless. You know what Skip Bayless is going to say. We watch him because he's entertaining. Mm-hmm. I watch Undisputed every day. Mm-hmm. But I know exactly what Skip Bayless is going to say when it comes to certain players and certain games. You know what he's going to say about LeBron. You know what mm-hmm. he's going to say about Luka and Steph. He's not going to give an objective analysis. He's going to play a character, and he's going to say what you know he's going to say. And I feel like Pat Bev was doing that. You know, he was kind of talking crazy. It was entertaining. But when you kind of look down into it, there's a lot of truth there, but a lot of people didn't agree with him. You know, like, you just can't put that game seven loss on Chris Paul. I'm not going to do that. Yeah, he's blown 5-5-2-0 leads. He got to take some of the burden in that. Mm-hmm. One of my biggest criticisms of Chris Paul has been he needs to shoot the ball more.
Yeah.
Like, when your guys ain't scoring and it's cold, you need to shoot that ball more. Mm-hmm. You know, because he even in some of the games in this series, he still shot like 50% when he shot the ball. He just wasn't shooting it enough. Mm-hmm. He needs to shoot that ball more, ball hog a little bit. But I'm not going to put that whole thing on him. Like, if you lose by over 20, 30 points, that's a whole team effort. That's not one guy. Now, if it's a close game, you lose by 4 points, and everybody played good, but this one guy that played 30-plus minutes, I can understand that, but I'm not going to put all that on Chris Paul. You know, the team should have stepped up. The coaching staff should have had a better plan.
It is shocking, though.
It's shocking, yeah.
It is alarming. It's game 7. I know they're all saying, like, well, that just happened. Like, I don't know, man. It's just like, you don't have a game 7. That's the biggest game of the series. And for them all to underperform.
All of them, yeah.
Like, Booker, you know, like, all of them shot poorly, like, as a whole. Like, I think Booker and Chris Paul were 1 of 10 at some point, like,
yeah,
during the game. And it's like, it's just alarming. But I don't think it was affect Chris Paul's, because he's already, like you said,
yeah,
he's established so much. I don't think it's that big of a deal. But it is kind of like, you pause more when you're trying to think of top 5 point guards all time. You think about this more. And like, I mean, he's also 30. So give him a break too.
Yeah,
man. I mean,
yeah.
Dang, I mean, it's not like he's... So Pat Bev's a little bit... You know, I also did... I disagree with Pat Bev. He said that James Harden should get a max contract. See, that's that stuff I'm talking about. I'm like, hell no. You know you're wrong.
Bias.
I don't know what that... Is he going to the club with him or something? Or what is this? Like, what are they like? They went to school together? Like, I don't know what...
The boys in the Rockets.
So they must be cool or something. But that was one of those takes. I was like, there's no way of, like, his behavior that James Harden warrants a max contract of any kind. You know? That's like... I mean, like, I can see just Pat Bev being entertaining, though, because he's all, you know, obviously super straightforward with how he thinks. But yeah, man, that whole, like, Chris Paul take was... I think a lot of people had a problem with it, but it was honestly what people say in the office. You know what I mean? Just like, casually, people just say anything that's like, oh, like he's trash now. Like, you know, just, like, super harsh things like that. And I'm like... Get a bad game. That's what I say. I wouldn't say he's trash. You know what I mean?
Oh, man. Yeah, Chris Paul definitely didn't deserve all that. If you want to say he's not as great as people make him seem to be, I mean, whatever. You know, I give you that. I mean, I don't... even though if I don't agree with you, you know, he's a great point guard. You know, I you can kind of understand when somebody's getting an argument from. But that guy's just talking like, man, like as if Chris Paul's out here masquerading as a superstar. Like, he is one of the best point guards of all time. Like, Chris Paul transforms every single last franchise that he goes to. When he went to the Thunder, we all thought that was going to be like a wasted year. Well, he got to the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, they were a good team. Same with the Suns. You know, he's took the Suns to new heights since the Barkley days. So, I mean, I'm not going to say the Barkley days. I mean, I don't want to disrespect the 8 seconds or 7 seconds or less Suns with Steve Nash in them. So, I'll say he's took the Suns to new heights since Steve Nash and Amari Stoudemire.
Yeah.
In like 2000, the mid 2000s, but you know I can understand you know where the criticism comes from, but he had an agenda. It seems like Chris Paul is still one of the better point guards. You can't criticize the guy because he's not the greatest of all time. Like I put Magic ahead of him, I put Steph ahead of him.
Oh, definitely.
But just because he's not those guys, they're exceptional, and Chris Paul is exceptional in his way, you know. But you can't say just because he's not those guys, he's trash. Mm. Or he's a cone. He ain't guarding nobody. He guards somebody.
Yeah.
It's just Luka's is big. I mean, Luka's posting guys up and...
Exactly.
Hell, he's abusing Paul George and him in the post. Like, Luka's just a big boy. He's just throwing that weight around. And ain't nobody stopping these players one-on-one. You know, when these players have a bad series, it's like a great team effort. It ain't like it's one guy stopping them one-on-one. Mm. So... You still gotta respect Chris Paul. That's what I didn't like. You know, it seems like it was definitely targeted, and he was just trying to make him say he was trash when Chris Paul is actually not.
Which is fine, but then you have to know that because I mean he's a current player, and all the players are aware of his behavior, and now everybody is gonna come at you more than almost any other take. You know, like they don't come at Skip Bayless all the time. They do come at him sometime, but not all the time. Or Stephen A. all the time. But because of Pat Bev, and he talks a lot of trash, now you have to be ready for what they're going to say back at you. And they're going to say worse things about you and Pat Bev, you know, like, so I don't know what you thought about what people said about Pat Bev. Like Danny Green went on a podcast and saying he's like, like he doesn't play any defense either. And like people actually target him. So I don't know if you thought that was more out of like, anger, or there's some truth to Pat Bev being, you know, a good defender, or maybe he's overrated in his role that he plays.
No, I respect Pat Bev. I'm not gonna call him overrated. He makes guys work for it, and he responded to Danny Green putting up his stats about when he's the closest defender to somebody, they shoot like the second worst percentage.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say Giannis was the first place person as far as like being a closest defender and making them miss, and Pat Bev was second, so I'm not gonna disrespect them, but I don't agree with that take either. You just want to go spreading false narratives about players like Chris Paul. Like the whole team failed. Guys should have been better. You know, Booker should have dug in deeper when he was missing shots and played better defense. And I think that's the next step guys like him needed to take. Like nobody's ever 100% on when it comes to basketball. It's a hard sport. Nobody's always hitting more than half their shots. You know, people have bad games. I think Booker's at the point now to where he has to learn how to affect the game in a different way. Like, you know, play some good defense. Get that Kobe mentality and try to lock the other scorer down. Play make a little bit. Try to rebound a little bit more. He can do those things when he's having a bad game. And, you know, same with Ayton. You know, like, man.
Oh, man. Ayton.
patrol that paint more, you know. Even if you ain't blocking shots, you can alter shots. You know, I can't put all that in Chris Paul because the whole team could have played better in that blowout loss in Game 7. Mm-hmm. You know, I get what they're saying. You know, he's blown a lot of 2-0 leads. You know, but yeah, it is what it is. You know, I think he could have a better resume, but, you know, it's kind of nature of it.
Yeah, you know what I mean? With those segues talking about disappointing end to a series, obviously, like with Chris Paul and Booker's performances. It's like, so what is, I mean, like, which team would you think is the most disappointing that has lost in this playoff so far?
I can see people say the Bucks, but that's mostly due to injuries. They lost Chris Middleton, and they still pushed the Celtics to Game 7.
Yeah.
To me, I'd probably say the Sixers. Joel Embiid, he was balling out. He's the MVP candidate. Injuries there, too. I don't know if they would have beat Miami, but I wish they'd have had a fair chance too.
Because yeah.
They lost the first two games and they won, you know, the one after that. But it would have been nice to see if Joel Embiid can split those games with Miami. Because he's put in work, man. I respect Joel. He's put in a lot of work.
Yeah, he has, man. He has.
You know, he stayed in shape. He ain't getting sick. He ain't trying to miss games. Ben Simmons. Yeah, he played through the Ben Simmons thing.
Yeah.
And to me, Ben Simmons was out of line. You know, whatever you got going on, you got to figure that out. And you're a star player. You're collecting a check. You got to deliver. Embiid got him do all that. So, I would have liked to see them play Miami fully healthy. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the coach got to be smart. Take him out the game when the game's over with, like, 2 to 4 minutes left.
Yeah, that's true, man. There's a lot of... I would say... 76ers and Phoenix Suns and Memphis Grizzlies. I think those three, like, most, like, disappointing teams I've seen that loss. Obviously, I see, like, Memphis Grizzlies, you know, if they didn't have John Morant, they could have pushed to 7 games. They had the second seed. They were beating everybody. And they had the physical tools to beat Golden State. They were in position. Curry had a bad series for his
standards,
yeah. Mind you. Better than most, but, you know, bad to his own standards. So yeah. They were in the best position to upset Golden State. This didn't have enough toward the end. So because they were number 2 seed, disappointing. You know, Phoenix Suns, first seed, the most wins in the whole NBA. 65 wins, I think, about that much. And you lose in game 7 by a blowout to the Dallas Mavericks, who people probably didn't pick to even get this far. So that's disappointing. But also, 76ers, that's the team that if you had a receipt, you want to go back to the store and show the clerk and get your money back. Because James Harden and Joel Embiid, were they not compared to Kobe and Shaq when they made the trade for James Harden? When Brooklyn traded, right? They were, you know, people in the media, not us, because we don't do that. First of all, Kobe and Shaq, that bar none, nobody can match them. But in the media, they try to compare them, you know, the potential of their impact together. Mm-hmm. James Harden being one of the best scorers in the NBA. Joel Embiid being the best big man in NBA, arguably, you know, besides Giannis and things like that. That duo coming up short to Miami is disappointing because you think you're getting more from James Harden, who didn't even get double digits sometimes in parts of the game. Like, he's not even getting as much jump shots. I think in the final game, he only had, like, what, he was 0-for-2 in the second half.
Yeah.
Just 2 shots, right? Stephen A. talked about it a million times. 2 shots is all stuff like that. To me, that could be number 1 to me. I don't know what you thought about their performance, but James Harden in particular. And how do you underperform this much in that you have the best partner you could have if you're James Harden? You have Joel Embiid. Like, he's... could have been, like, he should have been MVP. He's dominant. Mm. He's playing with a orbital fracture,
right?
And a messed up thumb, and he's wearing a mask that he can probably barely see out of, you know. And then James Harden got both his orbitals. Okay, I don't know what happened to them shots. He had all that. He had all his fingers was intact. I don't know what's going. I don't know, but what do you think about those teams? Those teams coming up short, I guess, in particular James Harden in that series.
That was another thing disappointing about the Philadelphia 76ers. James Harden's play. You spent more for him. He's that caliber of player, but he let himself get out of shape. James Harden, I mean, you can play as good as you want to good. You can try to move. But if your body's not with it, you're not going to move. I don't care. I seen dudes trying to walk and move when their legs gave out.
Yeah.
You know, once your mind determines that, hey, we're done, what you going to do about it? He didn't condition. Mm. You know, I wish that Joel Embiid would have been fully healthy to kind of help give him a chance. But I'm not putting any additional trust on James Harden because he let himself get out of shape. You know, you got to take care of yourself to where your body can match your mind. You know, like, you can't go 100 miles when your gas tank is on E. I don't care what type of car you got.
So, yeah.
You got to feel the body, you got to feel the mind, you got to feel your vehicle to meet the performance. So, that's that's why you're hitting the 76ers, man. A lot of potential there between Embiid and Harden, but it's mostly Embiid. I mean, I agree. He could have been MVP. He held them down. But to factor in James Harden, you got more work to do. You know, you got to get yourself into shape. That's definitely a disappointing series, too, especially the way he played. I'm not the biggest James Harden fan, but I was feeling bad watching him.
Yeah.
Dude, the numbers he was putting up was horrible.
I didn't feel bad. I have no remorse. I think he should be better. He should be better than this.
He's supposed to be.
He's 2 years younger than Curry. So he's 32. He's been in this league long enough. And you only put up two shots in the second half of the game that it's an elimination game. And you only put up two shots. It's like, where's your heart? I don't care what about, like, he's missing. But where's your heart? You know? And this is not just like, I mean, I'm not a huge James Harden fan either. I'll say that. But what I'm being honest about is when you have a person of his scoring ability that he was playing that in Houston, like that big time scoring, we haven't seen that since. We haven't seen that since. Like, it's been underwhelming.
Yeah.
And to me, it's just completely unacceptable to me to have someone of his caliber. If LeBron did that, he'd be torched, right? Yeah. If Curry was like that, he'd be torched.
Yeah.
So with James Harden, it's like, oh, yeah, he just... I mean, like, if he's out of shape, it's like, how... Like, what are you trading for?
That's true.
You know what I mean? If he went to the Lakers, I'm expecting him to be 30, 12, and 5 type of stats.
But, you know, that's why the media got to get these players' legacies sliced. That's one thing that buzzed me, like, First Take, Undisputed. I watch some shows. I'm a fan of them.
Yeah.
Stop them dumb, retired, you know, arguments of, like, oh, does this series affect so-and-so's legacy? Like, get more creative. Like, these guys are proven.
Mm.
You know, Steph is forever proven.
Yeah.
LeBron's forever proven. KD's forever proven. They're not against criticism. But stop that legacy talk, man. These guys are who they are. You know, like, even now, I feel like stuff gets that bad to where they're always comparing this guy to somebody new. First, it was, you know, Westbrook, Daniels, Kyrie. Now it's John Morant. And these guys constantly want to say, oh, give me John Morant or give me, you know, Jimmy Butler over Steph.
Mm.
This guy's proven. Stop disrespecting the legacies. Stop these narratives. You know, like, even his case, not getting the finals MVP. That's a media thing. You know, like, man, I mean, I respect Iggy a lot. You know, Iguodala played solid that series. But you didn't start half the series. Like, they don't want to count the first couple wins they got before they inserted him in the starting lineup.
Mm.
You know, so I'm just like, man, media just got to stop these weird stuff and disrespecting these players' legacies. Because guys like Giannis, Steph, LeBron, they're always counting on to show up. They can't be having no 14-point games and these 9-point games. Like, they do, you guys ride them. They may not always be efficient, but you guys expect more from them because they're transcendent players.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta treat them as such. And their legacy is not always on the line.
Every series. If they lose this one, man, they're going down the ranks. Like,
and these guys are proven. They got championships. You know, like, they're proven. You know, they're not cheating for them. You know, like, man, give these guys their respect. You know, stop putting their legacy on the line. Like, find something more creative to talk about. So that's my only thing, you know, with TV. Now it's kind of my little rant.
I feel it, man. I think it's kind of like unfair. I mean, like, there are some legacies that do get hits. If anyone's, I'm thinking, like, you know, James Harden, and then not because of just lack of championship. Because, like, people always say, because, you know, if you're not winning a championship, right, they affect your legacy. But to me, it's like how you're performing when you're in your prime. If James Harden is 32, that's not that old. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're still in your prime years at that age. You still can score. But I can see little things like his explosiveness isn't there.
Nah.
His step back is not popping like it did. You know, he's shooting threes, but it's just kind of like a tough shot that he made. But
right.
He doesn't look the same.
That's true.
You think, man? Because, like... So I don't know if I was the only one that noticed that, but James Harden doesn't look this. So to me, and people want to call him one of the best scorers. I think some people did call him that. Media, to like piggyback on you, the media is like prisoner of the moment.
All the time.
When they start picking one player over the other. If you want to pick John Morant over Curry, it's because he's playing good right now. and Curry's off right now, you know, or they want to say James Harden is the best because he was scoring for a moment. Right. Now people are saying nothing about James Harden right now.
Yep.
But I'm saying a lot because I call people out when they're playing good and when they're playing bad. And I'm seeing clearly he's playing bad. He's underperforming.
Yeah.
You know, for one reason or another. And if you're 32 and you already playing like he's 37, like, this is what, see, like, what? Like, we see LeBron when he's older, right?
Right.
He's not dunking as, you know, he's not jumping as high. He's still dunking and he's explosive, but he's not the same.
Right.
You know what I mean? But he just, his game is changing because he's 36, 37. You know, like, you know, Curry, like, he was never super athletic. So you can't tell from Curry right now, other than he's missing shots.
Right.
But with James Harden, you can see a noticeable dip. And he's not as old as these other superstars.
32? Nah.
So that's, to me, that's a worse look than people trying to dig on Curry for him struggling right now.
And let's be real, like, him shooting like 38, 39% from the three-point line, that's like a lot of guys' career high.
Yeah.
It may not be to the level that we expect from him. He's missing a lot of open shots, but he's doing other things out there. He's defending. They got to stop that narrative that he don't play defense. You know, he had the clutch block on Ja at the end of the game one when against the Grizzlies.
Yeah.
He led the league in steals when he won, I think, the first MVP. First or second one. He led the league in steals that year. And guys ain't just abusing that, man. Like, you got to stop it. People have to learn the difference between a guy making a tough shot over you versus you just being trash on defense.
Bro.
But the media, you know, they don't know that stuff. You know, same way the media don't point out, you know, point out guys having proper defense. You know, they want to anoint people and say that they're so great, but then they ignore defense, you know, when it comes to certain players, or they ignore playmaking. Yeah, the media is kind of guessing at it. You know, and I just get sick of watching it. You know, you look for a fair analysis of these players. I don't have a horse in the race because I'm a Laker fan. Laker's not in it, but still, I'm a basketball fan overall. You know, we're both basketball fans, and yeah. Sometimes you will see some real objective analysis. Like, no, it's not the BS.
Very predictable. Yeah. Predictable analysis that we see, but it's taken like it's normal. Like whatever you hear from Stephen A, you know what he's going to say. You know, 100% he's going to say. You know what he's going to say about Dallas. Skip. You know what he's going to say. You know, it's a narrative. Skip, he says the same thing about players. Like, he doesn't like, he's like LeBron hater. You know, Luka hater. Yep. You know, but he randomly likes Ben Simmons, who don't even get me started on Ben Simmons' take.
Nah, that's a whole different record.
Man, this dude's stealing girls, man. We can talk about another show, man. We can talk about him, you know, him stealing Michael Blackson's Beyonce rumors. Yeah, we'll touch on that more another day. But, I mean, it's things like that where, like, I think we wish, like, we both wish that there was more of objectivity, but also not just being very predictable in what you're gonna say about that, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, oh yeah, like, I think maybe that's the ESPN's characteristic that they try to use. Like, I think you talked it, I think you used the word caricature to describe like someone like a Perkins or something.
Oh,
he,
yeah.
Like, he kind of puts on this specific personality now or something. Like now he compares things to weird, like to very weird things, like when he makes analysis, you know what I mean? Getting thing on top of his head because he had most random things or something. He was saying, but I mean, which like it's like entertaining to hear, but is that solid analysis or just a funny rhyme? I don't know. It's just that it makes sense, you know? It only makes sense, but yeah, man. I mean, like, that's how I feel about it, man. I think you have a very good take on that, and I was definitely trying to piggyback off you on that, man. To show, I mean. There's definitely a lot of players that I think that should be looked at.
Right.
And how we feel about them that are most noticeable. Like Harden's, you know, James Harden, Kyrie, players like that, that definitely, like, they get their fair share of criticism and for a good reason. But look at that, where they are, that are young. I think, like, I feel like we're just like picking up on the older players, like they're already old, like
right,
like,
yeah, they're sitting in their ways.
Like what else are you gonna do? It's like trying to tell your parents to eat something different. Good luck with that. I'm like, they're gonna eat whatever they eat,
right?
You know, but yeah, man, like that's how I feel about it. I don't know, like, what's your final thoughts on there? But I think we'll, you know, like it'll be interesting how this series kind of plays out with all these players that are left in this Final Four that we're watching.
Right. Yeah. Overall, you can be a fan of the game, but yeah, they're going to analyze it. Let's keep the bias out. Don't have the same tire takes. And just be more focused on live time. Like, in the U.S., we have a bad... I feel like that's our culture in general in the U.S. We have a bad way of, like, putting hierarchy to everything. Like, you had these really good teams. You're just like, who's more important? Or who would you have in the clutch on this team, you know? Or who would you rather have taken the last shot? Like, we have a weird way of breaking things down. So, like, the most important ingredient that makes up this whole meal... Like, we just don't enjoy the meal for what it is. The media just has to take it apart and be like, well, you know what? The Cajun seasoning sauce is the best thing on the team. They just have to learn how to enjoy teams overall. Enjoy teams. Stop trying to break them down. They're not competing against one another, a team. They're on the same page. So, let's just look at it for what it is and just keeping the bias out of it. That's my biggest thing. Like, man, come with some new insight. Like, talk about what you're seeing now at this moment.
Yeah.
Don't talk about 2016. Don't talk about 2011. Don't talk about this old stuff. Like, talk about what you're seeing now. So that's my biggest thing. The media.
The vision. All right. It's a final take. I think, like, when you talk about, I think maybe how they kind of divide when they kind of focus on one person or the other.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, like, if Dallas had, you know, Ezekiel has a good game, Tony Pollard, the backup, has a good game, and they say, you know, I'm just glad that they won a game. But the media will say, oh, well, which running back is better? Or, like, who's trying to get a job or the other? And it's just, like, drama, you know? It's just, like, creating, like, that drama topic instead of being, like, oh, there's, like, two good running backs that are, you know.
Same team.
That's obvious. That's, like, I like it. I'm just glad your team won. I'm not going to be upset, like, who really cares which runner back is better? But it's just like, I was trying to use that as, you know, an example for what you were saying.
No,
like, the U.S. is very, like, individualistic.
Yeah.
Who they want to give more credit than the other.
Because
it has to be, someone has to be more than the other. Someone has to be, you know, who's the GOAT? People are so obsessed, like, who the one person is.
That's how it is.
Maybe there's more than one, but people are so obsessed, like, there has to be one. And no one can ever get to one. It's like a revolving door.
Yeah.
The answers, you know. So I get that same frustration. I get that, man.
Yeah.
It's annoying.
It is. Well, man, thank you guys for joining us. I think that's all of our topics for now, our hit list. Now we'll be back, you know, with a lot more topics, especially with the NBA playoffs going off.
Yeah.
I guess if they want predictions, I'll say maybe the Warriors are going to win it all. Even though they didn't impress me too much against the Grizzlies, but...
Yeah,
that's my prediction. I'll say the Warriors going it off right now. Could be wrong, but that's my bet. You know, so yeah, man. How you gonna end it?
All right. Yeah. I think. I mean, I got Boston win the series and the Warriors win that one. Boston, I think, will beat the Warriors. I really hope I'm wrong, but that's, I want to be wrong. See, I'm being honest. I'm like some people. It's like, so I'm not gonna be too hater. So I really hope Boston just gets really irresponsible for the next few days and starts drinking. One of the coaches picks up a drug habit or something. Something to throw them off their game. But yeah, that's my honest take. I think, like, so you got Golden State, I got Boston, I hope I'm wrong. So
yeah.
But yeah, man, we got more to come. You guys, thank you for listening. We got more to come. And just stay with us. And yeah, look forward for more.
Yep, cool. Peace out, y'all. Have a good one.
Take it easy. All right, guys, thank you for subscribing to 50 Ball, and thank you for listening to us. Please find us on Facebook and like our page, and use any podcast app and look us up, and stay tuned for more content.
Yep, check us out. Thank you for listening, and you'll get more content from us soon.
Peace.